It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome to Hour 2. I saw Michael Carroll just walk by. He is our weekly guest on Fridays. Never have any concerns about whether he'll be on the show, like Raheel. Raheel sometimes joins us, sometimes doesn't. Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30 every Friday when he's not on vacation, so we'll talk to him tomorrow. Okay, so Nick Caserio spoke to the media yesterday. A lot of questions were posed to him. A lot of it was going to be about the draft. We're now a week away from that. And the Texans, it feels like, are going to be locked in on an offensive lineman. I talked earlier this week about Lance's thoughts on who they should grab. Tyler Booker is a guy he has mentioned quite a bit as someone who fits Swarm. And you know what? We discussed whether we would fit into Swarm, and Sean was a strong no. He's not a Swarm guy. I'm not a Swarm guy in this way. I hate acronyms. I'm sick of hearing about who's a Swarm guy and who isn't. I know that's a thing that's in that building, and I'm sure it's an indoctrination that the players have all been a part of, and now they say Swarm too. Look, football teams, any team can be very cult-like, but football teams in particular, because we're all pulling together for one thing, and that's generally a good thing. And if you don't believe, then how can you win? And what's better than giving someone something that they can latch on to, and Swarm is what D'Amico has decided. Gotta say, I appreciate the product. I appreciate their attitude. I like the way that their defense plays in particular. I don't like, in this case, it isn't a catchphrase, but it feels like it is. It's supposed to be all-encompassing of what the Texans represent. Just pick me a good football player on Thursday.
So I don't care
about that Swarm stuff. Just pick a good football player.
But if they had the Swarm mentality, the Swarm mindset.
I don't like.
No. But they just didn't say
yes,
Swarm mindset.
I am fine with all of the things that they want their football team to embody. I don't like it being put in this handy-dandy thing where everyone is, well, if he's either Swarm or not.
Yeah, the Texan way.
Which is something.
Texan culture. There we go.
Don't try to trick me because of who I root for. I know what you're doing in there. I don't like that either for the most part. It is now something that basketball team in South Florida says, and they used it to beat the Bulls of all teams last night. Heat culture.
The toughest team wins.
Or the team who has their star guard not miss in the first half.
That team normally also
that
wins.
Normally, if your star guard goes for 23 in the first half, you're normally going to beat a team who was the ninth seed. That's generally how things go. Doesn't take much, and he did that. Tyler Herro did. So we'll see if they can beat the Hawks tomorrow. But, yeah, just pick a football player who has high football character, who fits all your athletic benchmarks. I just don't like it being packaged in the Swarm in that Swarm acronym. But whatever. I don't know if I heard Caserio say Swarm yesterday and doesn't say Swarm in this clip. This is him talking about who they might target at 25.
We're always prepared to pick. And if we pick at 25, we're going to get a good football player. So, I mean, that's what we're focused on. So, I mean, honestly, like, we feel good about this draft. I mean, there's players littered throughout the draft, so we're pretty well positioned. Right now, we don't have a fourth-round pick. You know, we got the top four in the top, you know, 40, or excuse me, four in the top 89. Don't have a fourth, got a fifth, don't have a sixth, have two sevens. So we'll have an opportunity, we think, throughout the draft to add players that we think are going to create some competition on this football team. So, I mean, I'd say whoever we bring in, I mean, it's going to be hard to make this football team, so. I mean, just try to get the right players. But we feel good about the players. I mean, our board's probably smaller than some other boards, and that's okay. But, I mean, there'll be players to pick on Thursday. There's going to be players to pick on Friday. Honestly, there's going to be players for us to pick on Saturday that we actually feel good about. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to get a good player if we pick at 25. So, and if we don't pick at 25, then wherever we pick next or whenever we do pick, we think we're going to get a pretty good player.
He has that line in the tuck. Last year he said the same thing. It's going to be pretty hard to make this football team. Now, you did have injuries at wide receiver, but when you go 10-7, maybe you overestimate the talent on your football team. It's going to be pretty hard to make this football team. Your offensive line has been completely revamped. Maybe the standard that you set is a little low. I don't think that team, when it came down to it, was that talented, and it showed during the season. It's going to be a little hard to make this football team. I hope not, at least not at the offensive line positions. I hope it's fairly easy as long as you draft good players to make this football team, because if you are leaning on Ed Ingram and Cam Robinson and Trent Brown as stalwarts for your 2025 offensive line, CJ's in real trouble. It better be fairly easy for a first-round, second-round pick, or third-round pick at offensive line to make this team, because I think they have a lack of talent there. If they're going to operate with those guys, you might as well just not even watch 2025. It's going to be kind of a redo of 2024. I understand if you draft a DB, it's going to be hard, maybe not to make the team, depending on where you draft them, but hard to break in and be a starter. Understood. That's a strength. Defensive end, get it. Linebacker, I think you might be able to improve that linebacker. Offensive line, it's not hard.
Yeah.
It's not hard to make
the team. That's what he should have said. It's going to be hard to make this football team, except for
offensive line. We're welcoming
maybe
all.
Maybe wide receiver.
Oh, that's the other one. I didn't even mention that. It is Nico, mm-hmm. Christian Kirk, and who?
Braxton Berrios.
I said, and who? Braxton Berrios.
Justin Watson.
Braxton Berrios is I know Titus at one point put right tackle only in his bio. Braxton Berrios, returner only. Mm-hmm. And if that, I don't know if he put that in there, it's kind of insulting to him, but I would say returner only. As far as how he can contribute to this team.
I was going to be more insulting. Boyfriend only.
Boyfriend of influencer only?
Influencer boyfriend.
The boy.
That's
the,
his position yeah. on the team.
Whatever. Alex Earl's boyfriend? That's kind of...
I mean,
so you know in recruiting ATH, he's AEB? Is that, instead of receiver, he's AEB?
Yeah. I was trying to think of, instead of WAG.
yeah. He is someone who might make the team. I don't think it's that difficult. You have your solid guys. Yes. Joe Mixon, solid. I guess Damian Pierce, he's back.
Sure.
But
I mean, in wide receivers, you have Mechie and Hutchinson.
If you can improve on that, yeah, you should try.
That's the real, like, Berrios is just funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's, I think you can make the team at wide, not you, but player
much
they draft.
Like we found out earlier
in the top 89
that I couldn't shut Steph Curry down. John made that point earlier this morning. I also could not make the Texans at any position, actually.
Yeah, it'd be tough for you. Just the closeout.
Maybe because Sarah was talking to the media. Landry Locker would be tough for you to make this team.
It would be tough for
everybody.
No
there.
Disrespect.
I mean,
Landry.
DJ Bienema was a track star at Louisville.
Yeah, but defensive back is that's one of the
not,
spots they're good at.
Yeah, but we don't know what his hands are like, so we don't know if he can catch a football with the threat of contact coming his way. So maybe if that was strictly for the media, it's going to be hard for any of you guys to make this football team. I would agree. In fact, I'd be like, you know what? Nick, you're right. But at offensive line, with the guys that are going to be available to you, one of those guys should be a starter. Now, the thing is, can we trust them to draft anyone? Because when they draft offensive linemen, it generally doesn't go well. Blake Fisher's next in line to prove that point wrong. He wasn't great, but he was a rookie. He'll get his chance. And Aaron Wilson in March, before they signed Cam Robinson, said Blake Fisher was going to be the right tackle and Titus Howard was going to move the left tackle. That was before Cam Robinson. Cam Robinson being a tackle may change things. Trent Brown, I think, maybe is more a camp body more than anything else, but we'll see. So there. It's going to be hard to make the football team, and they'll pick a good player at 25. We hope so. We hope.
Yeah, that would be a big problem, Nick, if a week before the draft you're like, I don't know.
Our board's not 25? Coming. Our board's not coming together. This is a 14-player draft.
He did say that the board is probably smaller than most teams, which
isn't that more about the swarm stuff? Like,
yes.
We got guys who are swarm and other guys who aren't.
And in the realm of how long was that? A minute long Nick Caserio answer, where most of it is uninteresting. That was at least a little interesting that, like, oh, they view themselves as having a smaller board than most teams. Okay. Okay. Then
there's certain
something.
And we heard that last year during the season. There's certain guys built for playing for the Texans and other guys that aren't.
They're built for this.
Like Cam Robinson. That's a guy who
Ed Ingram
who fits what the Texans
built
are about.
For this.
Okay. Which leads me back to my point about that swarm stuff. It's all nonsense. Like if Cam Robinson, a guy who the Patriots wouldn't touch because they were worried about his football character, you bring him in. Okay, sure. I'm sure the standards.
Bring in someone else.
I'm sure the standards are high in other places, but when you're desperate as hell for any type of offensive line talent, you'll sign him, no matter what the concerns are.
Trent Brown, right?
Another guy
built for this.
Who people question his football character. Who's maybe a bit out of shape, stuff like that. But we ain't got no bodies here, so let's sign a body. But our board is smaller than most.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to make the stand.
Not if Trent Brown makes it. That'll be proof positive that it ain't that hard to make.
Hopefully it's hard for him to make it.
I would hope that they acquire enough bodies and Blake Fisher's good enough to make Trent Brown a guy who doesn't make the stand.
I'm not saying that he shouldn't make the team. I'm just saying he needs to work really hard to make
it. It shouldn't
teams.
Be Trent Brown. Man, this was a cakewalk. I heard it all. I heard all about this stuff
and how difficult
it was, but it was really easy.
I need DJ. I need Jonathan Alexander. I need Aaron Wilson to be like, you know who's really wowed in training camp? This is a new Trent Brown. This is a Trent Brown unlike we've ever seen before.
I don't want it to be Trent's just really the best of what's here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't need that.
And like, around the league, no one really got cut that could knock him off the roster.
Yeah, the Texans were waiting until final cut day to see if they could replace Trent Brown. It just so happens that offensive linemen are at a premium right now, and no one shook free. No good one shook free. We'll end this Nick Caserio discussion with this. He spoke about the offensive line because he was asked by Landry Locker, one of the guys who probably it would be tough to make the team for. Landry Locker asked this question about the offensive line. Will they change their evaluation considering the number of assets they put into it and the money they spent on guys for that all not to work out? Maybe you want to switch it up a little bit. Here is Nick Caserio's response to that.
Yeah, we always look at everything. So, just try to, in the end, try to make the decisions that we feel, are in the best interest of the team. It's always case by case. Each year is going to be a little bit different. So, contracts are contracts. It's just part of the process. So we'll look at everything, and if there's something that we feel we can improve, we'll look at it. And if not, then, we'll kind of keep moving forward. So I don't think there's anything, wholesale that we feel like we got to do, that much differently.
You made wholesale changes with the personnel and the coach, didn't you? You fired the O-line coach. You got rid of multiple offensive linemen. Your two most veteran offensive linemen you said goodbye to because they likely didn't fit Swarm. So you're going to continue doing things the way you do as far as evaluating talent, but you just were slapped in the face by being wrong about how you acquired talent and the guys you thought were right for what you wanted to do? To say I don't trust them to draft good offensive linemen would be obvious, because I've said it several times. But I'll say it again. I don't trust them to draft good offensive linemen. But it'll be paramount this draft to go do that. And yet, we're not really going to change our evaluations and how we do things. All right. Maybe. Maybe being stubborn will work. I do credit them for making a move with Chris Strausser. Do I credit them for just given a guy who's already in a room of promotion? I'll play the hindsight game. If they're good, I'll give them all the credit in the world. But currently, I'm neutral on that decision. And I don't know how else you could approach that. I don't know anything about, what's his name again? Cole
Popovich?
There it is.
Pop.
Nope, not doing that. Because that makes you think about a great coach. Not doing that. I'm going to call him Cole, like the guy who avoided a beef that kept the rap game alive for an entire, I guess it's still gone. Jermaine. Anytime I talk about Cole Popovich, if I call him Jermaine, you know I'm saying he backed out of something. Shout out to J. Cole. Hey, protect your peace, man. That's what. That was why he did it. Oh, look, Raheel's texting me now. I forgot about it. Still want to do today. Do I? I really don't know. I was actually asking Sean.
Oh. I thought that was rhetorical.
It was kind of rhetorical, but then I realized I don't have an answer for that.
I don't know. We're already behind.
Yeah, already behind.
How about tomorrow, Super Easy Friday?
Just let
Raheel at 11 and Michael at 11:30.
You come from the sports map school of doing radio. I feel that. Remember when you would just cut up an hour, re-rack it, and run it again?
A four-hour show, but that's really only three.
Those are the days, right? Down in the dungeon down there, you cutting up an hour of programming that already happened and rerunning
it. Actually, you know what? Let's just clip this segment and just run it tomorrow. I'm sure they'll love that.
So redo the Casario segment.
Yeah.
Do you want to record the Michael Carroll segment now so we don't have to do it tomorrow live?
Yeah, Michael, get in.
No, after the show, actually extra work. Have Michael come in now. Do the segment, and then have it ready to go tomorrow. If you missed what we talked about yesterday with Michael, well, don't worry about it. We'll do it today. We'll just run it again.
It all still works.
I'll talk to Raheel. See? Michael's here.
There we go.
There it is. He's ready to go. No, Michael, we'll do it. We'll do it at our normal time. The host of Comicast just walked in.
My
bad. You could have heard the full Comicast, well, at least an edited version of their podcast, yesterday from 8 to 9 on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, you want to hear the whole thing? You can listen to it wherever you listen to your podcast. Michael Carroll tomorrow and Raheel tomorrow, it seems, as well. He'll probably be busy and can't do it. But oh well. Oh, what we do is, like, some of that stuff is evergreen. We'll just do the whole Art Car stuff again. We'll just run that. Whatever it takes not to do the last hour of tomorrow's show. We got a two-hour show. We're trying to get an hour of it out of the way. We're grinders. Once again, another example of how we would not fit swarm.
No, this is not a very swarm mindset conversation.
Not at all. Okay, we'll talk about one of the legends of college football taking a step back when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Lee Corso, retiring. No longer will Lee Corso be on game day. And of course, if you watch, you've seen what's going on there. Product of age and other things, but Lee Corso, a legend. If you were like me and grew up watching college football and loved the sport, game day was a big part of why you loved it. You get up, and I was on the West Coast, so you get up at what, like 8 a.m.? Back when it was still just an hour. Now it's pretty much as long as a Super Bowl pregame show. Now it's that long because everyone that ESPN employs has to be part of it. But it used to be this. It used to be Chris Fowler starting it off and talking about the games of the week, maybe a big story or two. You'd send Tom Rinaldi out someplace for a special. You'd talk to a couple players for the game that ESPN's going to have at night, and also maybe a game that they don't have. We'll hear from those players. Then Corso would do his picks, and then we'd get to the games. Now, it's a three-hour or so extravaganza because everyone has to be on the panel. And, of course, we got the picks as well. Corso's popularity was why that picks segment got extended to having a celebrity who has some type of association with the school that the school and the site that they're at shows up. Like, hey, Katy Perry had some association. I forgot what school it was. They were someplace and somehow Katy Perry wound up on the set.
Wasn't it like an LSU Ole Miss game or something?
It might have been.
Alabama Ole Miss.
And she was at the height of Katy Perry's popularity, not the woman who's going up
right
in
now,
space.
The height.
Feels
literally
different.
The height. It's
well,
the highest she's ever been.
For about 10 minutes, she was the highest she's ever been because she left the stratosphere. And then people were crushing her because why are we wasting time sending celebrities up into space? Morally, more so, with all the it's that thing. With all the problems in the world, why are we sending these celebrities up into space because of how much it costs? I get that line of thinking, but it's not like the guy who sent them up into space was going to use that money to solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
So while that sentiment is maybe some virtue signaling, and I wouldn't say it's wrong, if you could have told me that if not for this adventure, the guy would have decided the money could have been best used curing some disease, solving world hunger, then I would agree. But he would have just spent it on something stupid that didn't help people either.
It would just been a super yacht.
Yeah, so whatever. He wasn't if his idea was to actually help people, he wouldn't have ever sent them up into space. He would have actually started helping people. So if maybe you're furious with the celebrities for enabling this guy, so be it. But Katy Perry, I still remember her. Remember her on game day, but that wasn't my game day. I didn't see that live. I saw that on Twitter. My game day was watching Lee Corso fight a duck. Put on the opposing team's head and fight a duck. That's what I was about. But now he no longer will be on game day, and I'm sure they'll do a great tribute to him. And I guess week zero, because that's when game day will come back. So Lee Corso, no longer part of game day.
Yeah, I think they announced they're doing one last, or he's doing one last show.
Okay. To say goodbye?
Yeah. August, I don't know, 30th, whenever that first Saturday is. So yeah, like you said, just like absolute icon of to be very sports radio about it, a Mount Rushmore sports show. Sports, I guess it's not a studio show, but a sports panel show. It's like that and Inside the NBA are pretty locked on as two of the biggest shows in like the television medium's history. And losing a guy who's like the DNA of it is going to be weird. It's going to be tough. Obviously, like you said, if you watched in recent years, he's been on a little bit of a minutes restriction. I'd say, but still the headgear picks still hit every single time. And that is part of the show that, like, I think should and probably will just kind of end.
Yeah,
with
I don't
Lee
want
Corso.
Anyone taking that over.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. I don't need McAfee sitting there.
They'll just have to figure something else out.
Find out another bit, but the Lee Corso headgear stuff should stick with Lee. That's all. Maybe we get, hey, Lee Corso picks whatever. I don't know how you do it to make it creative, and then the headgear appears, or the mascot of the team he thinks is going to win appears, something like that. But as far as anyone taking that bit over, seems silly. You're right. It was an Ole Miss game, but Alabama was involved. That's where Katy Perry
was on
game day. Yeah.
Was the Chad Kelly one.
Was it Chad Kelly or Bo Wallace?
Oh, actually, that was Bo Wallace. Chad Kelly was the next year
in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. So, nice recall on that. Katy Perry on game day about 11 years ago now.
I was going to say, it was 2014. I was in college watching this.
Yeah. And Lee was maybe not in his prime, but still going strong. And Desmond was there, and Fowler and Herbstreit was there. Back when they just had four people on the panel. Now, well, it's like every other show. Every other show has far too many people on it. You probably can't see it from there. But the stage almost looks ridiculous in comparison to what it is now.
Oh, how small it is?
Yeah, where it's far reaching. It feels like it's stretching from a 10-yard line to another 10-yard line. This one's just normal looking.
It's like, yeah, that fits four people.
Yeah, as opposed to what they have to do now.
Yeah, that one and the was the U of H. Was it with Carl Lewis? The U of H one where he pulls out. A key part of the Lee Corso headgear pick is the fake out to me.
Yeah.
It's the pull one mascot head out, and then, like he did at U of H, say, bleep it, throw it away, and put on the real one that he was going to pick.
Yeah, did Lee Corso learn from high school recruits in the hat game, or did he start it?
Oh, I don't know. He might have invented it.
which came first?
I mean, how long they've been doing the show? Like the 90s?
Game Day's been around forever,
I don't know,
right?
I don't know if recruits back then were doing that.
Yeah, the hat game, it's not recent now in comparison, but I think game day started first because most of those selections weren't even on television, the hat game stuff. So it's been a relatively new, but now it's been around a while. But Lee Corso done with game day. So we'll see how they kind of respond to that. I'm sure they'll try to dole out money to bring someone who isn't even college football related to the show. That's just kind of how it goes. That's ESPN's bag. All right, we'll go to break with that. Found out Raheel's going to join us tomorrow. He forgot to text me what he wanted to talk about. So Raheel will join us tomorrow, the host of CityCast. So we'll do that segment with him, and then we'll also talk to Michael Carroll. I'm a little shaky because there are two people. I know Todd, but there's a tall gentleman in there too who I do not know who's here. So now I'm a little nervous. I got a studio audience beyond Sean. So we'll get to break with that. We'll hear from Draymond Green. We were going to get to that. Draymond Green, a couple years ago on Dylan Brooks. He wasn't kind, but you wouldn't expect that from Draymond. So we'll hear from him when we come back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And it's still the play-in, but it's the playoffs for basketball. You still have time for your takes, two tickets, to enter that sweepstakes on Prize Picks, where you put in a lineup, an NBA lineup, and you get a chance to win two tickets and VIP treatment to the NBA Finals. Maybe you'll see the Houston Rockets playing there. It starts on Sunday, and not only can you go game by game in the basketball playoffs, but you can also do series projections. Where do you think that Giannis is going to score more than 32.5 per game in the Bucks Pacers series? So there's a lot of ways to attack this. Obviously, they still have the NBA. They still have Major League Baseball. They have soccer. They have anything you want. Tennis, F1, darts. They have something called BBL, which I'm interested in, but I don't know what that is. They have esports. Whatever you want, you can find it on Prize Picks. All you have to do is download the app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
I wish we did have something recorded that we could play, because I was in the middle of watching the Fantastic Four trailer. Is Marvel back? I don't know, but the Thunderbolts trailer and this one speak to at least the tone. We're taking a more serious approach to our superhero movies. That's what I'm here for. Less Taika Waititi, more, hey, this could be the end of the world. We need these people to save us. And that's kind of the tone of the Fantastic Four trailer. Pedro Pascal, he's been having a moment for some time now, but he's in it. For people who are, well, this is probably a better conversation for tomorrow with Michael, but for people who care, we get to see Reed Richards and some of his powers. We didn't see that in the first couple of looks at the Fantastic Four. So that's out there. Of course, Thunderbolts, very serious tone, at least from the trailer, which is kind of a departure from what they were doing earlier, where it seemed kind of too jokey. But hey, we'll see what those look like. Sean's going to go see a good movie, allegedly. No, he's going to go see it, but the movie is allegedly good. He's going to go see Sinner. So he'll have a non-spoilery review for our segment with Michael tomorrow.
I might just do a spoiler review. F it.
And you know it's tough because...
Screw y'all.
I can't actually turn off your mics like I could if John and Lance were hosting and I was in there. So if he wants to ruin the movie for everyone, he can.
I would just like for one time for them to be like, you know what? Spoiler. Like, no spoiler alert. I'm just gonna ruin this movie. Every show, every podcast, be careful. Spoilers ahead, whatever.
Because people are considerate of others.
Nah, someone just went, Tony Stark dies.
That's what John did, but he was guessing. He said, oh, really? He said Iron Man dies.
That's also what LaShawn McCoy did.
But he actually saw the movie, or was he guessing? Yes.
He said, RIP my guy Tony Stark.
Yeah, John had not seen it. He just said, or maybe he saw LaShawn McCoy's tweet. I'm not sure of the timeline there, but he said it on the air. Everyone was like, what? But he would never see it because he thinks they're cartoons.
Yeah. Anyway, I might spoil Sinners. I might not. We'll see.
Maybe I will be forced to watch it to avoid you possibly spoiling it for me. Maybe I got to go watch it after the show. We'll see about that. Okay, Dylan Brooks, one of the guys who will be the focal points of the series because of his history with the Warriors. There's a lot of history there. for a team who hasn't made the playoffs. We have the just the franchise history of the Rockets playing the Warriors and the Warriors just ending Rocket seasons. We have Steven Adams and his confrontations with Draymond. And, of course, we have Dylan Brooks, who has said things about Draymond and the Warriors because he was in this Dylan the Villain arc when he was with the Grizzlies. He was part of that team who was supposed to be the up-and-coming team that was going to end the Warriors' run. Of course, we know the Warriors won a title in that frame where the Grizzlies were trying to make a run, and Dylan Brooks was sent packing when the Grizzlies very publicly, at least through sources, told people that we have no plans to bring him back while the season was still going on. He's changed the trajectory of his career. The Rockets gave him a deal that a lot of people didn't think he was going to get. He got it, and now he's starting for a two seed. But back when he was still, well, at least when his reputation was in the trash, Draymond Green piled on. Here's Draymond Green a couple years ago now talking about Dylan Brooks.
This idiot said, I don't know what Draymond does out there. He said, I don't like Draymond at all. You don't know me. I just don't like Golden State. I quite frankly wouldn't like a team that beats me all the time either. I don't like anything to do with them. Quite frankly, you were a little kid in high school watching us win championships. Should be happy that you even witnessed that. Or maybe college, but you get the point. You're a fan. Draymond talks a lot. You talk a lot now. So if you have four rings, sure, you talk a lot more. For All-Stars, you probably talk a bit more. Defensive Player of the Year, you for damn sure would talk more. Two Olympic gold medals, you definitely would be talking, because that would mean you beat Team USA, and we all know how that goes. So gets away with a lot, too. What exactly do I get away with? I have 15 texts, one less than your dumbass. Okay, great. His game is cool. If you ever wondered why the Memphis Grizzlies is not ready to compete for a championship, look no further than this idiot right here. They're actually depending on this guy to help them win a championship. And he says his game is cool. Quite frankly, that just shows how little you know about basketball. And yet, y'all, you running around talking about a dynasty? The dynasty starts after you. Not with you.
There's more there. He goes on to say that he's not even sure that team likes you. Well, Draymond, pretty prescient. Turns out they didn't like him. They told him to go. It's a lot of him stating facts about what he's accomplished and why Dylan Brooks should, I guess, be more respectful of him and the team that the Warriors were and I guess still are a little bit. What catches you is just, idiot, dumbass, those are just things you normally don't say. Like, I don't know the last time I've called any adult that. I will yell at a television when I'm watching a game, but in a composed way, just drop, that guy's a dumbass, that guy's an idiot. They're not coworkers, but they do the same job. That's what caught me, that the blatant lack of respect for Dylan Brooks as a person. Like, you idiot, this dumbass, and now they will see each other for who knows how many games. At least four in a high-stakes situation. It's going to be fun, man. All the things that the Warriors have taken away from the Rockets franchise, and the Rockets have some chance for a get-back. In fact, the Rockets are very much in the position that the Grizzlies were. While Dylan Brooks is older, a lot of his teammates are the age he was, and the rest of his Grizzlies teammates were when they were a two-seed trying to challenge. Dylan Brooks just isn't part of that youth movement. He is one of the established veterans. How things change and how they still stay the same. So do we expect anything more than words? Dylan Brooks has he gotten into anything physical? We normally leave that with Amen as far as the physicality and doing things that get you thrown out of games. Dylan Brooks has been given technicals, but he hasn't been thrown out of a game for anything physical, right? This year,
I don't recall one off the top of my head.
Like, there's a shove here, a shoulder bump here.
Yeah, like the Kevin Durant one against the Suns in late March, early April. But that wasn't like super physical. That wasn't like hitting someone in the nuts or something.
No.
But yeah, I was thinking this when the you know, as we were thinking about this series. How many ejections do you think there'll be in this series? Combined guys?
From double techs or just?
Yeah, thrown out because of either technical fouls or flagrant. Not foul outs, not anything like that. Just flagrant one, flagrant two, or accumulation of technical fouls.
My first thought is that no one will be thrown out for a flagrant two. Okay. I don't, that just is so rare.
It happened when the Grizzlies played the Warriors, when Dylan Brooks broke the code, according to Steve Kerr.
I do remember that instance.
Gary Payton II. So
I do remember that.
Just,
but we are,
he has broken the code before.
And Amen got thrown out of a game for his flagrant two on Giannis, right? They consider that a flagrant two. So the Rockets have a history, at least. Draymond has been thrown out for flagrant twos as well. So maybe should I amend my statement? I think there will be a point to be made by the officials to get control of this early, considering the reputation. It's funny, we're talking about Draymond and Dylan and Amen. While Jimmy Butler doesn't get himself involved in actual physical altercations, unless he's going to go head to head with Grant Williams. But he will challenge guys. Now, I don't know of any animosity between him and any Rockets players, but that can come after a hard foul in game one.
I'm sure he's not like a huge fan of Dylan Brooks.
Who is? I don't think there are many people who don't play for the team he's on that are huge fans of Dylan
Brooks. They're going to be laughing and dapping up after.
Did we play the Jaylen Brown sound where he just called him a weirdo and he's the only one? We did play that. Yeah. So, Jaylen Brown. Not known, in fact, he was pointing out, not a lot of people talk to me, but Dylan Brooks is one guy, and he's just a weirdo who has to try to stay in the league by doing this. Of course, we kind of ripped apart that statement. So, yeah, he has a reputation, and the referees know it. There was an interesting physical thing that happened between him and Draymond while he was with the Grizzlies, where they were kind of going nose to nose, and Draymond had the ball, and Dylan Brooks wouldn't move, so Draymond was like, no, I'm just trying to get the ball out of the way, while he was elbowing Dylan Brooks in the face by moving the ball side to side, and Dylan Brooks wouldn't get out of the way. So there has been that. But what was the original question again?
Ejections?
You said ejections?
I'll set a line. Yes, ejections, either technical fouls or flagrants among, and I'll just say people involved in this series.
Could be coach. Steve Kerr can get furious. We know has it in him.
I'm throwing, Ime's at least getting a tech. He might get two techs in a game. He might get thrown out of a game.
Ejections. What's your line?
2.5.
2.5 for me would suggest a long series.
Yes. I am building that in.
You're building that in.
I am thinking that this goes 6.
Somehow, some way, someone leaves the game early, but not by foul out.
Not by foul out.
Okay.
Ejection. Or injury. Ejection.
Okay. I'm going to go, I'm going to go under for some reason. Hold on. 2.5. Over 7 games? If a game is who, because the possibility of a Rocket or a Rocket ejection during a blowout, if they're getting blown out, something like, I'm going to go over. Because I think if there are blowouts in this series, guys will do what they have to do to leave early.
I think we're gaining at least 2 from the Rockets. either Udoka getting tossed, Dylan, I mean, Tarjan and Amen Thompson. Like,
there are enough guys.
There's so many
culprits
or potential culprits.
I don't think Jimmy will get thrown out of a game.
I don't think Jimmy would.
Draymond's
iffy.
Will we get a
Steph
thrown mouthpiece?
It's happened before. Although I think he foul out and then throw the mouthpiece and get a tech? Or
I thought he didn't get a foul.
That's
and
right.
Threw the mouthpiece.
That's right. And then that was the second technical.
Yeah.
And he got tossed out of game 6.
So there's a possibility with all the physicality, if he doesn't get a call, particularly if they're down in the game, that could happen. So I'm going to go over. No, Klay Thompson's interesting, because I think if Klay Thompson was still around, he's a little squirrely ornery too.
Could either draw an ejection or
get himself ejected. Yeah. So coaching staffs, players, you know what? 2.5 is a good number. I'm going to go over. I'm going to build in that it's a long series too, and we get 3, at least 3.
Yeah. Maybe like, I don't know. Is there someone like Kevon Looney get ejected?
I don't see Kevon
Moses
Looney.
Moody.
Quentin Post. Is he someone the Rockets will try and he won't have? He feels like the type that the Rockets will try to bully. He won't go for it. and it'll lead to a couple technicals for him.
Maybe.
I see something where
Santos might get a if he plays. I don't know.
If he plays.
I'm just naming guys.
We'll see how
Will get a tech.
Oh, Pods is getting tech. He's getting teed up. Whether he gets thrown out or something else, but I think he gets teed. So, out of the 10 starters, does anyone avoid a tech in this series? Shingun likes to complain.
Yeah, Jalen might. Jalen's has recently got a tech.
Fred, we know, depending on the referee, he can be had too.
Yeah, Amen.
Yeah,
probably not a tech. I see more flagrant in
Amen
for Amen than a tech. But who
so
knows?
The Warriors have
Draymond Green.
Draymond, Jimmy, Steph. Who are the other? Oh, Pods. And who's the fifth? Moody?
Yeah. Either Moody or Looney.
So out of the 10, how many starters? What's the line for starters getting technicals in this series?
Just amount of technicals or how many starters get at least one?
How many starters get a technical?
I'll do 7.5.
Maybe
6.5.
Who are the swings, do you think?
Because, I think the swings.
Because while Jimmy has the personality to get one, he isn't known for it unless you try him. Like, he's not a giant ref complainer. Well, he complains, but he doesn't get technicals for it. I think Jimmy and Moody are the swings.
I think Jimmy, Moody, and Jalen are the swings. Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Green, like, he could get a tech, but he's not, like, a tech guy. You know?
I'm going to go, you said 7.5?
Yes.
I'm going to go under.
Yeah.
I think we might land at 7 or
I think
6 or 7.
Right after I said 7.5, I kind of wish I said 6.5.
Yeah, it's a little high. It's a little high for that. And we're way late.
No.
You combined?
We're early.
Oh, we're early. Oh, I thought we were almost done for the day. We are.
We are almost done.
I thought we were behind in getting there. Paul Gallant will be up next. He'll. I'm assuming have thoughts on the Rockets' Warriors. It's the story of the week.
He will. He'll have thoughts about it.
Yeah, he's talked about them quite a bit all week. It's just what the deal is. It's Rockets Warriors once again, and the Rockets aren't the favorite despite being a 2 seed, but this is the most vulnerable. Despite the Rockets being up 3-2, as far as these series have gone, this is the most vulnerable I think the Warriors have ever been, even with how good they played with Jimmy Butler. I think an off night by either one of those guys leads the Rockets win. I don't think they need to be as dramatic as holding Steph to 3 points. But if Jimmy has a night where he isn't as efficient or as productive as he was against the Grizz in their play-in game, I like the Rockets in those matchups. How many great games can they get from Jimmy Butler over the course of 7 games? Does he have it in him? They'll have 2 days off between games to start, so that helps the Warriors' cause. And with the 4 days between games, well, yeah, 4 days between games, right? They played on Tuesday?
They play Sunday, Wednesday.
No, I mean Saturday. 4 days between their playing game and then their first game. So that's there too. So they'll have rest coming in. They'll have rest between games early. So you may get the best of both their two stars early, and we'll see as the series goes on if they can do that over and over again as the series goes longer. All right. That music means we're done for the day. So we have Raheel tomorrow and Michael Carroll tomorrow, and maybe a non-spoiler review from Sean Mapes in that segment, or just a full-on spoiler where he ruins a movie that appears to be really good. Depends on what he feels like. It's all up to Sean and his vibes tomorrow. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. We'll talk more Warriors, more Astros, and, of course, all the other nonsense we get to tomorrow. I'll talk to you then.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.